The president's pushed to continue the Cash for Clunkers program, which...
Real quickly, Cash for Clunkers, yeah. It's in the Senate's hands right now. Will you vote for more money?
85% of American citizens are saying Obama was not...
This president, I think, has exposed himself as a guy over and over...
I had a dream last night.
Was he dressed as a male?
World-famous Phil Henry Show until 1 on the West Coast, 4 a.m. on the East Coast, the news talk and entertainment show that knows what it's talking about, although, I mean, we're carrying a big rock on our backs here, man. It's a tough, tough road to hoe trying to get you guys the truth, because it is our bitch, you know. Phil Henry here with Bud Dickman and Robert Leonard, who's doing security tonight. You guys have been kind of quiet.
Yeah, well, you know, it's Monday. I don't give a ding-dang.
You don't give a ding-dang, huh? Well, I do give a ding-dang. I got to give a ding-dang. I'm the host of the show. So Cash for Clunkers, what's that about? We're going to talk about that. That's if you took your car in and it was under 25 years old and it got less than 18 miles per gallon and you said, I don't want this rolling garbage any longer, you would get $4,500, up to $4,500 as a rebate toward the purchase of a fuel-efficient car. Now, it's been wildly successful. People have turned in their cars. They've taken the old gas guzzlers, the clunkers, as they call them, and they've rendered them inoperable. They essentially take the car and they turn it into a useless artifact. You can put it in a museum if you'd like, but you can't drive it any longer because it's not fuel efficient. Now, the only argument against this by many is that this takes away the consumer's choice. And I would simply say this. Not that this is a news flash, but you got to keep reminding people of these things. It's almost like trying to remind you, every day you have to remind somebody, yes, but you see, the sun does come up in the east. You know, you're aware of that, right? Well, does it have to? Yes. The government at times has mandated quite a few changes in our options, shall we say, when it comes to purchasing or not purchasing things. For instance, there are certain poisons that you can't buy. There are certain chemicals, drugs, whatnot, that we find injurious, destructive, dare I say lethal, that you can't buy. We have EPA standards and have had them for 30-plus years on the emissions that automobiles are allowed to emit. We spend an awful lot of money from city to city, in fact, monitoring the air quality so that we are not exposing our children to it. In fact, we do tell children you can't go out and ride your bike today if the smog is too bad. It happens here in Los Angeles. It might happen in other cities. I don't know. I don't know how bad the air is in other cities. I only know what it's like here in L.A., and it, you know, continues to be rotten on certain days of the year, and there are things the government then says must take place as the result in order for us to survive. Now, this might be slightly different. This is a car. And you don't readily see the injurious, as I was saying, effects. You don't readily see the effects on your pocketbook, maybe. You don't readily see the effects on energy consumption. But nonetheless, it's a matter of national priority, a matter of national survival. There isn't anybody who's going to make a serious argument that building a car that gets lousy gas mileage is a good idea. Unless we have nothing but a nation of millionaires who also happen to have oil wells in their backyards, it doesn't make any sense. And on top of everything else, we have an auto industry that was so badly run for so many years and had every excuse in the book that they'd cook up year to year to tell everybody they're doing a good job. It's just this, this, that, that, those, these, them guys, those girls, these chicks, all of these people out there, we'd be fantastic. We'd be the greatest auto manufacturers in the history of the world if we didn't have to contend with all of these terrible and onerous regulations and rules. And we came to find out that, no, it wasn't all of that necessarily. It was the fact that these clowns, In following the business manifesto that they got, I don't know, maybe when they graduated Harvard, or maybe it's something they cooked up themselves, that the immediate return on the company's investment quarter to quarter and the dividends and the year to year was far more important than building anything anybody really wanted to drive past the next 2 years. Are you going to tell me that we're going to tell people that they can't buy a Hummer if they want to buy a Hummer? You can build anything you want, man. You do anything you want. You can turn that whole factory of yours into a roller skate factory if you want. But if you come to me, the taxpayer, and you say, would you help me, get my ass out of hock here? Because it looks like I've made a lot of bad decisions that really wasn't my fault. I'm sure you understand. Yeah, sure. And if you wouldn't mind, can I borrow a few billion? Well, I guess you're going to have to just listen to some of the things that I got to say, man. And one of them is, I don't know where you guys think you're living or what you think you're doing, but the fact that you got those gas guzzling pigs out on the road, man, and the price of gasoline's up around $5 a gallon, we got an economy that's going to the tank, and you don't see the connection between any of that. You guys aren't fit. I don't know whether or not you're fit to handle the milk money fund. And they start kicking and screaming when Obama or somebody says, hey, Wagner, you, if you want money, you out of here. We were talking about that before the election. You want money? Great. We call the shots on who's going to be running the company. Nonetheless, the government came up with this cash for clunkers idea. One of the ideas to get gas guzzling crap off of the road and try to get people to buy a more fuel efficient car, give them money toward that purchase. And it has been extremely successful, so successful, in fact, that the fund ran out of money long before they thought it would. Well, there's no success like success. Now, I know it's costing us money, but one of the things it is doing is it is taking a lot of crap off the road that's costing the people that were driving those pieces of junk in the first place a lot of money and giving them an opportunity to purchase something that's more fuel efficient. Press Secretary Robert Gibbs says the Cash for Clunkers program, however, could be scrapped by the week's end because they've run out of money. The House has passed appropriations money, but it's got to get through the Senate, and the Senate's taking its time because, well, that's what the Senate does. They take their time. Plus, a lot of Republicans, they're leaning on a lot of their Democratic candidates not to fund the program because, quite frankly, if Obama's in such a rush, then it can't be all that good. Let's take our time. Here is Gibbs.
The president's pushed to continue the Cash for Clunkers program. Which without some help from the Senate in terms of moving the $2 billion from the Recovery and Reinvestment Plan's energy efficiency programs into this account will likely mean that the program will have to be stopped by the end of the week.
Here is Senator Bob Corker of Tennessee on CNBC proposing an idea on where to get money for the Cash for Clunkers program.
Real quickly, Cash for Clunkers, yeah. It's in the Senate's hands right now. Will you vote for more money?
You know, if this is something we can take from the $787 billion stimulus plan, some of which won't be spent for 3 or 4 years, if we can take it from that and use it today in a way that's paid for, I would support it. If it's just adding another $2 billion to our debt, no.
Here is Edmunds.com CEO Jeremy Anwill. He tells Fox Business Network that Cash for Clunkers should not be credited for rising car sales, although I have to tell you that Ford Motor Company, Chrysler, and GM all posted sales increases. I think in Chrysler's case, they had a drop that was less than the year-to-year they had the year before, but Ford did post a increase in sales. I think I'm reading this right. It's Ford, Chrysler, and, well, GM isn't figured in here because of the reorganization, but Ford did post a sales increase. However, this is this guy, Anwill. He says, not so fast.
The truth of the matter is that car sales always spike in the summertime because consumers are out looking for values. This is when the cars go on sale before the new models come out in September and October. And this year is a little different. We've had people waiting on the fence all year because consumers, you know, the economy's been tough. They've been really motivated by value, and I think this year we're seeing a much bigger spike than normal. As people come into the marketplace looking for the sales that they typically expect in summer. So there's certainly a lot of hype about Cash for Clunkers, but I think the sales surge we're seeing is actually due to this people in general looking for value and coming out.
Well, we would have to look then at the sales last year that Ford was able to manage or Chrysler and see whether or not there was a spike and did they make money. Ford hasn't posted a sales increase in 2 years, So that theory that was just proposed there by Mr. Anwill doesn't seem to hold water, not to mention the fact that if you're bringing in a car that you're going to cash in for a more fuel-efficient car, you're going to get $4,500. That's bringing a lot of asses out onto the lot, isn't it? Look, all I'm asking for, if the guy's, you know, making sense, he's making sense, but all I'm asking for is if we could just keep the political spin down to a scream, to a blood-curdling scream, it would really make it easier to understand things, wouldn't it? Instead of people going around, well, not so fast. You see, it isn't that good of an idea. I mean, just, you know, take off your pseudo-armor, take off your Republican or your Democrat panties long enough to give us a little information, okay? I mean, some real information. As it is now, Edmunds.com, I don't know what you guys do for a living, but I ain't buying nothing from you because your CEO is full of crap. What do you think of that? All right, 877-876. Welcome back here on Monday on a world-famous Phil Henry Show. Every night until 1 o'clock on the West Coast, 4 a.m. on the East Coast. This is where truth is our bitch, all right? We don't let anybody get away with anything here, okay? I don't give a damn what it is, who it is, or why they say it. It's important to know. I mean, if it means we got to throw somebody under the bus, we'll throw a million people under the bus, man, before we cop any horse dung around here. Former Washington Mutual executives are asking for golden parachutes, as you like to hear them coming up as well. 877-876, the world famous Phil Henry Show.
The world famous Phil Henry Show. Truth is our bitch. The Phil Henry Show.
877-876-PHIL here from El Pacifico every night. Don't forget, over at Twitter, we got a Twitter account or two or three or ten. You could go to twitter.com/RealPhilHenry. In fact, I think a lot of the people who are regular guests on our show, you know them, Lloyd and Margaret, and you don't have one, Bud, do you?
What?
A Twitter account.
No, I don't do any Twitter. It sounds not me. I'm Facebook, I got MySpace, and I'm on a bunch of different social networking sites for people on, you know, who would like to get to know me, and we can have coffee and everything.
That's great.
Go have coffee, man. I don't social networking sites something better than that.
That's just how I feel about it.
All right, well, great. I hope your love life spikes, man. All right, coming up, we have as you like to hear them. Who do we got on the program tonight?
We might have the guy who's in charge of Cash for Clunkers, the man that runs it.
Who's that?
Robert Gibbs.
Robert Gibbs, man, the guy is the press secretary.
What?
He's a press secretary, you dumbass. What do you mean run Cash for Clunker?
Well, that's the guy that's been talking about it.
Well, he ain't the cat that runs it. In any event, I guess we'll talk about it. 877-876-PHIL. Let's go to a phone call, shall we, and figure out just exactly what the heck is on the minds of the people, the fine people that make this program the marvelous success that it is each and every, day. Here is Larry in Tampa. Larry, what's going on?
Yes, sir. I have to disagree with you regarding Edmunds. It's a very reputable, unbiased website. It's kind of like Consumer Reports for Vehicles. It provides a lot of good, accurate information.
Well, then why would the man say something like, I think it's just a normal summer spike when Ford hadn't posted a sales increase for 2 years until now?
Ford had a sales increase in the first quarter of this year.
No, not according to the news story that we have, that they had an overall... Okay, he just used the B-bomb. I guess, Larry, what you're saying is not true. Otherwise, you wouldn't have gotten so angry and dropped the B-bomb and the S-bomb, the BS-bomb, and forced us to hang up on you, brother. Here is Sissy in Modesto, California. Sissy, what's on your mind tonight?
Oh, this is concerning the health plan. And I believe that if we don't heighten the standard of the total American population and do something to strengthen ourselves all together now, because I'm a Norwegian, I grew up during the war, I came here 30 years ago, and after 9/11, I smelled the same thing that would happen. The whole population is neurotic right now, because we're all
neurotic.
Living in fear. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's psychosis. It's a mass psychosis. And we're being, if we are not taking care of that, we will be victims of being manipulated. And not only by terrorists from outside, but also from our own government. It's a temptation for them to do that. Now,
so we need health care for national psychiatrist program.
For our own psychological good reason and health case. We need it because germs never ask who to hit. We all go in and out of refrigerated cars and houses and out in the hot sun, and our immune system gets on the fritz, and whatever is out there attacks us equally, and those who can afford health care will die from continuously putting themselves on antibiotics because they get reinfected by those who cannot afford to treat them.
Now, what if we find people that are neurotic and we need to put them in a psychiatric facility because they're not getting the need for a national health program?
No.
Should we do that? No?
Everybody is suffering a neurosis right now, and it's called the post-war stress syndrome because we were attacked. 9/11 was an attack on this country, sir.
We need a national health care plan just so we got some head shrinkers out there that can help us, you think? I think that that's probably a good idea, so long as they don't put me in a gulag somewhere.
I think that we need to. Then another good thing that can come out of it is that we won't have any more homeless people, because the only reason why they are homeless is because they have emotional, psychological, and physical handicaps.
Oh, I agree with that.
Yeah,
I agree with that one, Susan.
And if we give them, and the reason why they are out and being homeless is because they can't take care of their health unless they are homeless, because then they get.
You know what? You're right about that. And I agree with that. Sissy, thanks for your call. Although, having a national health care program, so we've got a head shrinker to go to because we're neurotic after 9/11. And I agree with that. But, I'm worried that we're going to go to the wrong psychiatrist or a government approved psychiatrist, and the cat's going to say, not liking President Obama. It's okay, right? Yeah, I don't like him. Okay, that's fine. But you see, that indicates to me a deep-seated hatred of authority, and we need to hospitalize you. And the next thing you know, we got these government-sponsored nut houses, which maybe isn't a bad idea, to be perfectly honest with you. As a matter of fact, maybe we need communism on some level, on some workable level, where we can at least weed out some of these nuts, you know, that they ain't getting on board fast enough for me, all right?
Yeah, put a guy in jail because you don't vote for Obama. Are you serious?
Yes, I'm serious. What do you think, man? Although she's making a good point about homeless people. They're homeless because they're cuckoo. I mean, I say that with the greatest of love and kindness in my heart. No cat stays homeless for a chronically long period, for an extended period, unless he's got some serious problems. But nonetheless, that's not a good way to sell the health care program. We can get the homeless off the street. Because American people hear that word one more time, man, and there'll be mass psychosis, all right. 877-876-PHIL. World famous Phil Hendry Show. Let's go over to Phoenix, Arizona. Steve, what's going on, man?
Hey, not too much. Just driving back from Phoenix on my way to San Diego.
Yes, sir. What's on your mind?
What I have for a question for you is something from earlier. You were talking about Guantanamo and being shut down and the detainees coming into our prisons. Now, when they're in our prisons, what's keeping them from recruiting in our prison system?
Well, I don't want them in our prisons. I want them in Guantanamo.
I don't want them at all. I agree with you 100%. I agree with the idea that just get rid of them in some other way, some shape or form. Why not just send them?
Right, I don't know. Recruiting, maybe, you know. I mean, they're recruiting right now, man. I mean, we got enough radicals in prison right now. Aren't we worried about that? You know, the American prison system is ain't exactly a model. I mean, it's nothing that we would be proud of were we to really think about it, you know. There's plenty of nuts in there right now recruiting each other for every kind of cuckoo idea. My thing isn't that. My thing is they're in Guantanamo. That's a great place for them. Nobody's been able to convince me why it's a bad place other than a lot of touchy-feely horse dung that isn't backed up by any international law, no American law, no common sense. Move them out. Why? Because a bunch of cats in France think it looks like, it reminds them of the bad old days, when Louis was getting his head cut off. A lot of, the paranoia and the ignorance of Europeans and Asians and Africans and the rest of the world about America's legal system and the problems that we've got, I'm real sorry to say to them, I hope someday you understand, but as for now, you know, we're just going to have to do what we got to do, and you people can go pound sand. Thank you so much for your caller, Steve. 877-876-PHIL. Let's move on to Tampa, Florida, and we got Aaron on the line. Aaron, what's happening?
Hey, Phil. I'm kind of curious as to why you think we need the government to provide health care for us.
Well, right now we have a situation where that 40 to 50 million who are not covered go into hospitals or go into doctors, often can't afford it. And therefore, the cost gets passed on to the doctor, the hospital, and eventually the insurance companies, and then on to the rest of us. So it's costing us, the uninsured people of this country, they are costing the rest of us money, a lot of money.
I know we have Medicaid to cover a lot of that.
Yeah.
But it's also a government program.
Right.
But not all America of it. Not all of it. But America is one of the most generous countries when it comes to its civilians being charitable. I just think that people, if you give them the choice to be charitable or say, we're going to take your money from you via taxes because the government...
Charitable? This isn't charity, brother. This is your insurance is going up. It's costing you more.
My insurance...
What charity are you talking about? I'm not talking about... You know, it's passed on to you and I in a voluntary way. It's being passed on to you and I in an involuntary way. Everything that we pay for, whether it's medicines, whether it's doctor's care, whether it's our it's costing us more, whether you like it or not.
Okay, well, how are we going to pay for this nationalized health?
Well, we're going to pay for it by way of, first of all, having to tax or raise funds in some other way. And eventually, the money that we save by insuring these people will hopefully recycle back to us. We'll be back on the Phil Hendry Show. Rayla Hood next.
Phil Hendry. Broadcasting from the shores of El Pacifico. Phil Hendry.
That's where we are, baby. El Pacifico every night until 1 o'clock on the West Coast and 4 a.m. on the East Coast, the only news talk and entertainment show that tries desperately, sometimes at great risk to ourselves, at great peril to ourselves, that knows what it's talking about, to try to know what it's talking about, to talk to know, to...
To know what it's what we did talk about.
Yeah.
Right, that's what we do. What was that? The only news talking, forget it. And our number, 877-876-PHIL. We do know what we're talking about, is what I'm trying to say. Irregardless of ideology, party affiliation, religious affiliation, irregardless of club membership, country club membership, membership in the Vons Club, membership in the Ralph's Club, whether or not you have your CVS card, you can come to us and we'll tell you what's really going on. As far as we can tell, and I can tell you this, as far as we can tell, we're telling a lot, man. We don't tell any lies here. I mean, we're trying to get the information and then regurgitate it back, if you'll pardon the expression, to you with as little horse dung attached to it as possible. 877-876-PHIL. We'll go to a phone call. We got Beth here in Los Angeles. Beth, what's on your mind tonight?
Yeah, hi. Well, I would like Obama to talk about this program for Cash for Clunkers, because I think it's a really good program, and it stimulated the economy with just in a couple months a tremendous amount. Ford made a profit, you know, the first time in...
You want Obama to talk about it? Well, right now the House of Representatives says, cool, you know, we'll appropriate the money. The Senate is kind of dragging their feet. You know, what they're saying is this. They're saying, we're going to run out of money. We got to have this program. We're going to run out of money. So they're putting their spin on it, which is a sort of a scare tactic to try to get... You know, to get the American people behind it.
Well, I hope that they do that, and I also hope that they, you know, I wasn't going to talk about health care, but this country, I mean, there are so many other countries. We're like the only industrialized Western nation that doesn't have health care, and all of this patriotic stuff is just stupefying the American public, because we need health.
What do you mean patriotic stuff?
Well, for example, the gentleman that called just a few callers ago, and he says, hey, why do you think that the government's going to be able to pay for, you know, in other countries, the government absolutely pays for all the health care. As a matter of fact, it's a crime for...
Well, the government doesn't pay for it. The taxpayer pays for it through a government program.
That's right, through a government program. And Medicare is being handled for like 3% overcost runs, and all of the other companies are making between 20% and 34%, and they're denying coverage, and they're continuing to buy each other up, and then they deny people. You know, they had hearings.
Right, I understand.
It's just terrible.
I agree with you, and you know what? It isn't so much that other countries have got. I wish we'd get off this kick about what other countries do, because if we followed what other countries do, we wouldn't be half the country we are today. But the fact is, we've been talking about this as a nation ourselves, among ourselves, for almost 60 years. Well, more than 60 years. It's not like it's a new idea. The American citizen has been aware of this need, and it's become critical. And thanks so much, Beth, for your call. 877-876-PHIL here on a world-famous Phil Hendry Show. Pardon me while we stop down here for just a second. It's time now for a feature we do in our program, which is called As You Like to Hear Them. And this is where we bring on an individual, a person of prominence, who will talk to us about these issues that are important. And with us on the line right now is Rayla Hood. Ray is the Secretary of the Transportation, right, Ray?
Hello.
Yeah, Ray, we got you. I'm sorry that the line wasn't on.
I'm the Secretary of Transportation. What did you say?
Secretary of Transportation.
Yes, that's who I am. What is that? I'm hearing music.
That's the music that we bring on to introduce you.
Oh, okay.
Anyway, Ray, we've been talking about Cash for Clunkers, and we understand that the program has run out of money. But the American people like it. And what it means, essentially, is that they get money for bringing in their gas guzzler, right?
That's what I understand. I mean, this was an idea that a few guys had before I came on board. You know, they named me the Secretary of Transportation, and I said that I'd do anything for the job, you know, the cabinet-level job. And I got that. Now, it's run out of money because it's really successful. I'd like to take credit for that, but I can't because it wasn't my idea. But I will tell you this. If we don't get these clunkers off the road, then it'll be embarrassing. I don't think you want to be seen driving these things. And, you know.
Yeah, but also the fact that there's too much gas.
Right. I forgot to mention. Yeah, the too much gas. That's right. It costs too much or something. I forget.
No, the miles per gallon.
Right. The MPG. You got it.
You don't sound like are you up on this program?
Not really. I see, it's embarrassing to say, but my expertise is really in the field of agriculture, and they wouldn't let me have that job. Another guy got it, so I'm doing this. But I said, I'll do it. I'll try it. You know, Obama said, well, I want to get a guy in here who, you know, I need a Secretary of the Transportation. Nobody wanted the job, so I went ahead and I said, I'll take it. You know, what I'd rather have had the agriculture job.
So, in other words, you don't know anything about the Secretary of Transportation job as it's articulated, and that is the guy who administers the transportation system in America, federal transportation?
Well, I know that we've got an interstate, and that's about it. The last time anybody said anything to me about cash for clunkers, I was reading a New York Times. That guy said, have you heard about this? And I said, well, I saw an article in the paper today.
So you weren't aware of this program?
I was aware of the program, yeah, but nobody told me it came under Secretary of Transportation.
Well, what would you think that automobiles, did you get going to give rebate from a federal program to people who bring in clunkers, gas guzzlers, so they can buy a fuel-efficient car? What department would that come under?
I don't know. I thought it was human services or something. I don't know. I mean, I knew it was cars, but you're giving away stuff for free. I didn't think it came under Secretary of Transportation. We don't give away anything for free. So they told me that this is my job. What do you want from me? I mean, like I said,
I know you wanted the Secretary of Agriculture job because what are you, a farmer?
Yeah, a lot of people think I am. You know, but no, I mean seriously, my background would be more suited. I don't know anything about farming. But look at Phil. You asked me to come on your program tonight to talk about this program, this cash for clunkers, and that's what I'm trying to do. And I'm talking about it as well as anybody else has. I don't know. This guy Vilsack took that Secretary of Agriculture job, you know, and I'll never forget the day he walked into my office. He said, guess what? I'm going green. And I said, you got it. And he said, yep. And I said, and I threw my, I'll never forget. I had a brand spanking new, it was a paperweight that was made. It was one of those snow globes that I picked up at Disneyland, and I threw it against the wall and it broke open and all the crap came out. But Vilsack, he's over there now and he's good for him.
Who are you talking about? The guy that said, guess what, I'm going green.
That's Vilsack.
Oh, the Secretary of Agriculture.
Yes, he walked into my office. He said, I got the job. And I said a couple of choice words, which I won't repeat here because they're vulgar. And I picked up this snow globe that I got at Disneyland, and I threw it against the wall. And I said, congratulations, now get out. And so we've been going back and forth like this for a long time. My problem is, I don't know a thing about the transportation job. I just took the gig because, like I said, you know, Obama said, you know, you play ball, and I played ball. And now he's laying a program on me that they say is successful, but now they got to shut it down. And I don't know anything about it. All I know is you get money for bringing in a car that's lousy, you know, and how that works. I haven't been able to figure out how it works.
How what? How the cash for clunkers works?
Yeah. How does that? Where do they get the money?
They got the money, $2 billion. They appropriated the money.
Yeah, but from where?
From just appropriating it, man. Either it's part of a taxing program or it's part of a little bit of deficit spending. And maybe they went into the red for it. I don't know. But they got $2 billion. Somebody wants them to take it out of the stimulus plan.
See, I didn't know how that was going to work. If they're going to pay for that. But you're saying they got $2 billion for it, huh?
Yeah, and they're running out of money now. They don't know whether they're going to be able to get the votes to get this thing back up again, to get it running again.
Huh. You learn something new.
Well, I don't understand, man, how a guy can have a Secretary of the Transportation job or any other cabinet-level job and not know what his job is about.
I don't either, but I told you I wanted the agriculture job. And Vilsack walked in. He said, guess what? I'm going green. And I said, well, good for you. And I threw that thing at him.
I know. You told me to. You threw it at him or you threw it at the wall?
I took a snow globe that I bought with my daughter at Disneyland, and I threw it at him.
You said you threw it against a wall.
Well, I got it. No, I threw it at him, and it hit him. I'm sure I got to admit that. I guess I have to admit that because he did go to the hospital.
You threw a snow globe at Tom Vilsack, the Secretary of the Agriculture,
Secretary of the Agriculturally, or the Agricultural. I don't know, but I would have called it something different than that.
Secretary of Agriculture, you threw a snow globe. Snow globe.
Yeah, that's what it was. The snow globe. It's called a snow blower. And I didn't throw one of those, but. Phil, I understand your frustration. It's a tough job, and I hope to God that someday someone explains to me what I'm doing in it. But as far as I know, the Cash for Clunkers program's a good one.
Well, I got you on the line because nobody's ever talked. I haven't heard you quoted once concerning this program.
Well, they're going to talk to me. Why would they talk to me about it?
Because you're the Secretary of Transportation.
Yes, I'm the Secretary of Transportation, but I don't know anything about this Cash for Clunkers. All I know is people like it. And they ran out of money. But when you tell me that they're not making any money on it, that they're going into the hole on this thing, that doesn't sound like a good idea to me. I guess it makes me sound like Bush or one of those Republicans, but if somebody were to ask me, I'd say that that's the deal. All I know is that I wished I would have gotten that other job. I don't even know what I did before I got here.
Weren't you a governor or something?
I don't know. I don't remember. I don't remember, man. The whole thing is getting really weary. When I first signed on, Obama was big now. He was big news. Everybody loved his ass, and everybody was voting. Everyone thought he was great. He had a 60%+ approval rating. Now he's down below 50%. This ain't fun anymore. I'd rather go back to my old job, lining people up to get a teddy bear at the fair, man. I used to do those shooting galleries. I was a carny at one time.
You were a carny at a what? At a carnival?
Yeah, one of those carnivals. I ran the teddy bear thing, I ran the octopus, I ran the merry-go-round, and they got me in here. Maybe that's why they got me the job, I don't know, because I ran a ride at a carnival that doesn't make me the Secretary of Transportation. But you understand, Phil, this all started years ago, when I first started out in college, and I had been a member of college. Hello?
Thanks very much, Ray. We got to go.
Oh. I just remembered, I was a U.S. congressman from Illinois.
Congratulations, man. Well, you're now the Secretary of Transportation. Will you try to remember that?
Yeah, you bet. I'll get that down. Write that down.
Guy's a nut, man.
Well, nobody figured out anyway what it means or anything.
I know what it means. Cash for clunkers. They give you money if you bring in a gas guzzler. What's so hard to understand?
I don't know. The whole thing scares me.
Yeah, man, when you bring a car, man, I got to bring a car in, and the government's going to make me buy a car run by mouse power or something like that?
What do you mean, mouse power?
Down in Canada, the new green cars run out of hamster power or something.
No, man, they ain't running no cars on hamster power. They're not running any cars on hamster power, you jackball. They're running cars on hybrids, you know what I mean? Like half gas, half electricity.
Man, what are they thinking next?
You sure about that?
Why don't you guys read a newspaper or something, man? You'll figure out what's going on. 877-876-PHIL here on the world-famous Phil Henry Show. 877-876-PHIL. Coming up, Henry Louis Gates Jr. You know the guy that was in that whole contretemps there in Cambridge, Massachusetts? Well, he was making jokes about his arrest. I guess he's relaxing. He's loosening up a little bit. He can see where the humor in it is all of a sudden. And we'll hear about that and more coming back here on the world-famous Phil Henry Show.
Listening to the world-famous Phil Henry Show. Truth is our bitch. The Phil Henry Show.
Media Matters has released an anti-Lou Dobbs ad. And like Lou doesn't have enough problems. Now he's been targeted by Media Matters as a nut. And Lou, you only got yourself to blame. I don't know what or how or who or if or why you want to position yourself the way you're positioning yourself, or if there's some other tack you could possibly take. But by even so much as just even so much as squeaking that mouse fart out about Obama and his birth certificate, man, now you got Media Matters. And Media Matters, by the way, you people. Lou Dobbs ain't the problem. It's you. And that goes for that Bozell group. And I keep forgetting the group that Bozell runs. All of these so-called watchdog groups. You guys are so funny. I mean, you make me want to laugh until I pee. You're taking all this stuff serious. You're talking about these guys that are, you know, that are rapping about Obama's birth certificate, that maybe they're infecting the body politic, that they're influencing the way people are thinking. They're just a bunch of talking heads. They're telling anything. They'll tell any lie they can tell. They'll tell any truth they can tell to say anything to hold on to their job for another week. What are you guys? Are you kidding? You're wasting more time, I'm telling you. But, hey. So we'll be talking about that and how they're calling poor Lou a nut. Well, maybe he is a nut, but Lou has got about as much influence with the millions and millions and millions of people in this country who can actually move and shake a few things as I do right now. I mean, seriously, I would have more were I not on overnight, but I happen to like overnights, you know? I can get my sleep in the daytime. Plus, I snore, all right? So that means anybody that might be sleeping with me at night, they don't have to sleep with me at night. I'm all by my, you know, by my lonesome in the middle of the day, although I'm not sleeping with anybody right now, right?
Not that I know of, but I'm not keeping track of that.
Yeah, you want us to keep track of that?
What do you mean, keep track of it? Well, no, you don't have to keep track of it.
I mean, we can peek ahead and see if anybody's there.
Yeah, we'll look and see if there's, like, an imaginary person sleeping with you.
All right, fine. Democrats in Congress are under pressure from their leadership in the White House to spend the August recess selling health care reform to the constituents through town halls and other events. But what happened to Representative Lloyd Doggett over the weekend could be a sign of what's to come to some Democrats who represent some Republican-leaning states or districts. Doggett was holding a town hall at a supermarket in Austin when it was interrupted by what could be called a rally against President Obama's health care plans. A video of the protesters chanting, "Just Say No," over and over again appeared on YouTube. The Austin American Statesman's Patrick George reports that the protesters began after someone asked whether the congressman would support the bill even if he found his constituents were against it, and Doggett said he would. And this is, of course, what leadership is about. Some people think it's about just doing whatever the voters tell you to do, but sometimes you can't do what the voters tell you to do because it may not be the best idea in the world. You know, as far as you, the elected representative, are concerned, right? People don't get that. American people think that, well, we send guys to Washington because they're only there because we can't be there. But in point of fact, we send people to Washington not only for their responsiveness to us, but also their initiative, their ideas. Perhaps they've got something that would be better to present. Maybe they've got an idea that the whole process is wrong and we need to kind of shake things up and think things through. And that's what elected representatives are supposed to do. Now, we want them to do that when we want them to do that, and when we want them to do what we want them to do, when we want them to do what we want them to do, see? And then we expect them to read our minds and know when those two different eventualities take place. Better for them just to go there, do what they think is best, and when they butcher the whole thing six ways to sunset, we can fire their ass and put somebody else in there. How about that? Now, here are protesters interrupting Representative Lloyd Doggett during his town hall meeting. I got a prediction for you. That's going to backfire on the people who are opposed to Obama's health care plan, and I'll tell you why. Because if it's a town hall meeting, that means you ask questions, you answer questions, you discuss. When you go in like a mob, as that group of people did, and you are there to exercise some sort of fascist speech control, and you're there to exercise essentially the role of a censor. People see that for what it is. And screaming "Just Say No" basically means you're saying "Just Say No" to using your brains and "Just Say Yes" to being stupid. Representative Doggett told Chris Matthews on Hardball that the protesters were plants.
Well, Chris, what better slogan for the party of no, no way, never than "Just Say No"? One of the reasons is because many of these people were summoned in by the local Republican and Libertarian parties. They didn't even live in the neighborhood. They were there not just to be heard, but to ensure other people weren't heard on this. Real desperation tactic.
You see how you libertarians out there, whoever you are and whatever you are, you see how you get lumped in with a lot of these these nut job conservatives. I'm not saying Republicans necessarily, but the extreme element of the Republican Party. You see, you get lumped in with those people. You see how being a libertarian doesn't earn you any brownie points, man. It doesn't make you. It doesn't make your position any clearer. It doesn't make you any more endearing to people. You're just another version of a pain in the ass, as far as a lot of people are concerned. Here's Representative Doggett explaining why he thinks these protesters are against the new health care proposal.
I think these folks are really desperate to stop health reform. They see that for the first time in 60 years, we really have, with President Obama and a Democratic Congress, a chance to enact meaningful reform and deal with these policies of health insurance giants that hurt small business, that deny choice to so many people, and deny them coverage at a time they need it the most. So just say no. A mob scene is just one way of trying to intimidate members into weakening their position. In my case, it really just reaffirmed my resolve to go back and get a strong public plan, force more competition, provide more choice to people, get the reform I know my constituents want.
One of the reasons why the just say no approach is probably going not to work is because you have to have, as well as the very vocal protesters, you have to have something tangible that people can see that what they are talking about, what they're representing, is really a bad thing. Show us, in other words, the national health care plan as a disaster. They can't do that. Their Canada comparison ain't working. So just screaming and yelling without any example of what it is you're screaming and yelling about, man, it's going to be a long week. Phil Henry Show, we'll be back.
Phil Henry.